Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Monday morning, health briefs now. Dr. Thomas Moran is the chief medical officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. Good morning to you, doctor. Let's talk first about President Trump diagnosed with chronic venous insufficiency. Talk a little bit about what causes this.
Yeah, chronic venous insufficiency is a condition that as we get older affects probably 40% of the population. And what happens is our circulation, our veins are conduits that return blood to our heart. The veins have little valves in them. That valve structure allows as we move and we contract our muscles, the blood gets kind of pushed up through our legs and up towards our heart. Competent valves lets that blood kind of ladder step all the way back up to get into the circulation back into your heart. As you get older, sometimes what happens is those valves become incompetent or fail a little bit. And so what happens is the blood pools in the legs and it can cause some swelling, changes in the skin color a little bit. And one of the treatments that we do for it in the beginning is, and lots of people do this overall, is wear compression socks. That gives a little bit of a kind of squeeze to the calf muscles and lower legs to help with that blood flow back towards the heart.
Other than getting older, what's the cause of this?
Some people are more prone to it through just a little bit of genetics and their structure of their veins. Mm-hmm. But usually it's, you know, if you stay active, wear a little bit more compression socks. If you're up on your feet regularly throughout your life, can help a little bit in preventing it. But, you know, some people get a condition called varicose veins, where you can actually see the veins and you can see the pattern of the veins. It usually comes from the same thing, which is a faulty valve system that could cause that. There's not a ton of things to prevent it overall. It can happen. But the more active you are, keeping movement going overall can help limit a little bit of the pooling that goes on as we get older.
And it's a swelling in the legs that's noticeable when you have this condition. But this is different from congestive heart failure, isn't it?
Correct. Yeah. Congestive heart failure is where we have fluid changes within the body because of the heart's ability to pump efficiently. And chronic venous insufficiency is more of a structural problem where the vessels aren't working well and you could get pooling of the blood. And with any time that happens, you get some swelling or edema. You can also get some skin color changes because the blood pools down there. Blood has hemoglobin and iron in it. You could get some darkening of the skin color that's there. And sometimes over long term with the swelling not going down, without people not raising up their legs or using compression stockings, they can also get thickening of the skin, and also it's harder to heal if you get a wound or anything on your lower extremity.
Got it. It was announced last week that a Northwestern Medicine research lab found a usually harmless virus in brain samples from Parkinson's patients. What does this mean, this pinpointing of a viral link to Parkinson's?
So there's Parkinson's disease. There's multi-factors that can contribute to it. And one of the things that Dr. Korelnik really looked at in his lab was they took brains of those patients diagnosed with Parkinson's disease and brains of those individuals who don't. And what they found is a common virus that's out there, it usually doesn't do anything, that normally wasn't found in the brains, was found in about 50% of the brains with Parkinson's disease and in none of the brains without Parkinson's disease. It's the first time that they noted this in their studies that this was there. Doesn't necessarily mean that the virus is causing Parkinson's, but it could be contributing to or play a role in the development of Parkinson's disease, and there's going to need much more research on this as we go forward.
So it's not known the reason for this virus to be present in the brain. We don't know that,
correct.
Do we?
Yeah, it's one of those things where when you find something in this way that typically wouldn't be there, and you get a comparison of those who don't have a disease, that don't have it, and those that do have a disease, there might be some infectious link with this virus that can contribute to the development of Parkinson's disease, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's the cause of it.
Mm-hmm. There was a story the other day, and we've been hearing this lately, another report on gastrointestinal cancers rising dramatically in people under 50. Any idea of why this is happening?
Yeah, so the incidence under 50 of GI cancers has been increasing. We're seeing it in age groups that we typically don't see it in. There's no real one thing that stands out that says this is the cause of it. They're still doing a lot of research on it. But we've talked about this many times in the past. You know, there's diseases sometimes takes time to develop. Our lifestyle of the way that we have kind of conditioned our body over time can contribute to it. So you think of when you're very young and you're in your teens and 20s, it is, what are you feeding your body? A poor diet, high processed foods, high sugar content, increased alcohol, smoking, lack of exercise, putting on some weight can all be contributors to developing GI cancers early. There's also some hereditary links that are out from family history of GI cancers would put some individuals at a little bit higher surveillance risk and getting screenings earlier in their lives just to make sure that they're not developing those cancers. But it kind of goes back to what we've always talked about is if we could decrease our overall inflammation in our body from the things that we put in it, what we can control, and do some things to keep us healthier overall by limiting the amount of alcohol and really cutting out smoking, we could decrease our overall risk of developing cancers like this.
Doctor, were you a little surprised by this? Very comprehensive, most recent review of this, pointing out that gastrointestinal cancers have become the fastest growing type of cancers diagnosed in adults younger than 50 here in the U.S.
It's concerning. I mean, but we think of our American diet is really a high processed diet that we have overall, and inflammation or chronic inflammation can contribute to developing many diseases and chronic illnesses.
With the Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital, Dr. Thomas Moran, we mentioned this earlier. Our first caller of the morning winner was a dental hygienist, and I said, keep things clean and healthy orally, and it affects the rest of your body. And now there's a new study bearing this out. People with dental problems more likely to have all kinds of health issues, aren't they, Doctor?
Yeah. Oral health is really tied to our chronic overall well-being. And it's one of those things where there are some chronic illnesses, diabetes for one, that can cause some problems with your oral health. But your oral health can also contribute to developing some of these chronic illnesses because poor oral hygiene overall changes the bacteria in our mouth. It increases inflammation in our body, and it can cause lots of different issues that affect your ability to resist some of these chronic diseases that we have.
According to another study, making lifestyle changes can reduce your risk of chronic disease. And this is true even if you've got a genetic risk, isn't it?
Yeah, it's one of those things where we look at the focus on things that you can control to have a healthier lifespan. And it comes down to things we've talked about numerous times on the show. So there's about eight of them where you look at, it's like, think of it as the essential eight. So no smoking, a healthy diet, fuel your body with good foods that decrease the overall incidence of developing inflammation. A good exercise program, meaning you don't have to go out there and hit the gym every day, but walk at least 30 minutes a day to give yourself movement and continue that development of both your muscles and your bones. Healthy weight, maintaining a healthy weight helps. Good blood pressure control, controlling your sugar and making sure that you, if you get or develop diabetes, that you keep it under control, and managing your cholesterol, both from dietary wise, and if you do have a condition of elevated cholesterol, to get on medication to keep it down, and a good healthy sleep pattern that you have to let your brain kind of repair itself, because during sleep, that's one of the things that the brain goes through.
And I don't see in this study information about supplements. What about taking vitamins?
Well, I think, you know, everybody wants a pill to fix them. And I think one of the things is they can help. There are certain supplements that can help you overall. But really, just like what we just went through, there are the regular things you can do every single day without taking a medication. And food is medicine. I've said it numerous times on the show that, you know, it is one of our best ways of keeping our body healthy is what we put in it. And then it's how we use our body overall, and don't insult it with excessive alcohol, smoking, and weight gain.
Yeah, there's also a report in the news about our aging brains and how to keep the brain healthy, according to science. At like about 40, our brains begin to lose a step or two. Is that right?
Yeah. Overall, brains age just like our muscles and our bones and everything age. And after 40, it's somewhat normal to have a little bit of memory or processing speed, degradation. But it doesn't necessarily mean it happens to everybody. And some of the research that has been done is those individuals who don't have a loss of their memory or their cognition or their processing speed really kind of follow what we just talked about. Mm. They control their factors that affect their body. They're not overweight. They have good sleep patterns. They don't smoke. They really limit alcohol. And they exercise. And sleep plays a big role into a healthy brain. And that sleep part is a consistent time and good sleep, so you could go through the cycles of sleep so your brain can repair itself. You know, when you wake up in the morning and you feel super refreshed, like I had a good night's sleep, mm-hmm. That's a good sign. When you wake up in the morning and you feel more tired than you went to bed last night, you probably had a bad night sleeping overall.
I'll try to remember what you just said. If only my brain could hold on to that, Dr. Thomas Moran. Thank you, Doc. Talk to you soon.
Have a great day.
You as well.